This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. Routine to difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Todd, good week to you. And I believe what? We're going to open up with Phil Steele.
Hello, sir, and Phil is currently on the line.
All right. My friend, it is great to have you with us once again. College football season's getting close, and you and I need to have conversations.
Hey, Steve. Good to hear your voice again, my friend.
Same here. Everything changes. Now, officially, Texas and Oklahoma in today in the SEC. Everybody else in the Pac-12 can't officially change until the 2nd of August, but everybody's in for intents and purposes. What did that do to how you have to put together the publication and how you were ranking players because of the additions?
Yeah, it made it very interesting. And, you know, as far as ranking teams go, Steve, I've never had to rank an 18-team conference before with no divisions. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of ties in the Big Ten this year. You've got 18 teams. You've only got 9 possible outcomes for the record. So it's going to be a lot of ties there. 16 teams for the SEC. Made it very unusual, very bulky as far as predicting the conferences and divisions go this year. As far as the players go, pretty much seamless to me. I think when you take a look at the Pac-12 last year, the Pac-12 was one of the best conferences in the country last year. So them sliding into the Big Ten is not like, let's say, the American Conference had a couple teams go into the Big 12 last year, and none of them really fared well. It's a different animal with the Pac-12 Big Ten, especially when you're taking basically 4 of the top teams from the Pac-12 sliding over. So the stats and things that the individual players did in the Pac-12, very comparable to what they'll do in the Big Ten.
Transfer portal means a lot in all this, so let's take a couple of transfer portal quarterbacks in the Big Ten. Let's start with Dylan Gabriel. He steps in at Oregon after going from UCF, doing well at Oklahoma, and then transferring to Oregon, where now Bo Nix is a part of the Denver Broncos. How do you view what he can do in that Oregon offense for Dan Lanning as opposed to what maybe Bo Nix did?
Well, I don't think he's going to match Bo Nix's numbers from last year. Those are pretty phenomenal. 45 touchdown passes, 3 interceptions, 4,500 yards total passing, 78% completions. However, when I talked to Coach Lanning, went over the team with him, he said he's a lot like Bo Nix in a lot of ways. He was very pleased with what he had coming in. He's a guy that has a lot of confidence. You can coach him hard. He's got a great attitude. He's humble. And he has produced, while not a 45-3 ratio, his ratio last year was an outstanding 30 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. He had 69% of his passes. I think he'll thrive in the Dan Lanning offense, but I don't think he'll quite match what Bo Nix did last year statistically.
All right, now Ohio State is a group that for the most part has done the homegrown quarterback route. Will Howard's a part of this now, but my understanding was at Kansas State he wasn't assured of having that job with Avery Johnson there. What's the impact you potentially see with Will Howard in the Chip Kelly offense under Ryan Day?
I think it's probably going to be a good fit because you're going to see the quarterback run more in this offense. And I think they can afford that. Generally, if you're going to run your quarterback more, you cannot afford injuries. But they've got Devin Brown, and they've got a couple of very highly touted freshmen, Julian Sand and Aaron Nolan in the back. So they are able to run him more, and I think that's when Will Howard is most effective. I do think Will Howard probably would have lost his starting job at Kansas State this year. But with the supporting talent he has, like a Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins at running back, with the receiving core they have, with the Jeremiah Smith and Amike Ibuka, and the solid offensive line, I think he'll fit well in the offense. I just don't think he'll be one of those Heisman type of contenders.
Right. Exactly. All right. Now, Penn State's gone homegrown with its quarterbacks. When you've had an opportunity to really examine the Nittany Lions, what do you like about the team? What are a couple parts that give you pause?
Well, I do think you're going to see Drew Aller have a much better season this year. The team's got more confidence in him. He already had a 25-2 ratio last year.
Yep.
What I mean by much better, I mean throw for more yards. He threw for 2,600 yards last year, definitely on the top 3,000. And I'd like the depth they have at quarterback as well. When you look at Perbula and we look at Gronkemeyer, they've got depth there. The running back position didn't get the bang that you would have expected out of Singleton and Allen last year. I think they get that this year, so I like that a lot. And the offensive line, they could be up to last year's standards, but not quite as strength yet. So offensively, I like the quarterbacks and running backs. I still have question marks at wide receiver, Steve. It's really probably my biggest question mark on the team. Defensively, there's just a lot to like. When you look at the defensive line, I rate it second best in the country. Linebackers, number six. DBs, number nine. Yes, they lose some players out of the secondary, but I like the replacements they have coming in. No questions about any of the three units on defense, and no questions about special teams. I rated number nine in the country. So I like pretty much the entire team. Question mark, major question mark at receiver, and a minor question mark on the offensive line.
Yeah, and I'll give you a name that I want you to watch, because obviously I saw your four teams on the All Big Ten, and this is the prejudiced announcer coming out here. Okay, okay, watch out for KJ Winston at the safety spot. Let's, somewhere down the line, I think he may give you a thought about putting him on one of your teams. Okay.
Yeah, Coach Franklin told me he was an all-conference player, so he agrees with you 100%.
All right. So, but that doesn't mean we can't disagree on something. That's okay.
That's right.
And I may be too close to it. You know what I mean? As opposed to, so there's differences. All right. So now, go ahead.
And when you follow one time, sometimes, it's tough to, you got 16 teams in the league, so there's a lot of players out there, but I probably could have put Winston on that list, so I'm going to keep an eye on him, Steve. I appreciate that.
No. Believe me, I appreciate what you do. It was interesting, years ago, I was doing the Outback Bowl, when Penn State was playing Arkansas. Arkansas had beaten Texas, and rather soundly, like 41-16 or some number in Fayetteville. And I asked Chuck Barrett, their play-by-play guy, I said, hey, Texas is coming in. How do you think they fit? He says, Oklahoma will fit fine. He says, Texas isn't physical enough. In your opinion, has Texas in the last 2 years become a more physical team that can play in the SEC?
Yes, they definitely have. And, look no further than last year when they had guys like Tavondre Sweat up front along with Byron Murphy. Very physical defensive tackle. In fact, that's probably the major question you have is who's going to replace those guys at DT. But they've got Collins and Broughton. Bill Norton they bring in from Arizona. They bring in a Louisville transfer and Jermaine Lowell. So they're physical up front. And offensive line, they've got one of the best offensive lines in the country. I rated number two overall. They also have the best quarterback room in the country. This is a Texas team that can come in and compete in the SEC right away. I rate them number four in the power poll, number four overall. And they get Georgia at home on October the 19th, so that's going to be a big game.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing how Georgia plays at Texas before they ever play a game at Texas A&M, because they've never played a game at Texas A&M. They've been in the conference for 12 years. it's the strangest thing. How they do their business is very interesting. All right, so now let's get to the Oklahoma part of it. Oklahoma's coming off one of those, they beat Texas, but they have one of those rather interesting seasons. Where do you see them standing with all new opponents?
Well, I'll give you two ways that I view Oklahoma, Steve. The first one is my power pull, which is the overall talent they have on the team. I rate them number 7 in the country. When you look at them, it's Brett Venables' third year. I've gone over the team with Coach Venables each year, and you can see this defense is loaded this year. It's much different than when he first took over. And, you know, his defenses are a little complex. Third year, these players all know it inside and out, led by Danny Stutzman at linebacker, Billy Bowman at strong safety. They're going to have a heck of a defense. Offensive line is probably my biggest question mark. They lose 5 offensive linemen from last year's team, but Bill Bedma is still there as the offensive line coach. He's one of the best in the country. And Coach Venables told me he feels good about the offensive line. Now, Jackson Arnold didn't have an overwhelming bowl game, but I think he will fit in well. And the receiving core and running backs are solid. So this is a very talented team. However, they draw the SEC's toughest schedule this year. They basically play all the big boys, with the exception of Georgia. They play Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas, Auburn on the road, Tennessee. So the SEC's toughest schedule. And it's the reason I only have them rated number 20 in the country in my actual preseason top 40.
Yeah, because I look at Jackson Arnold. I mean, I go back, what I think it was the Alamo Bowl. He threw a couple touchdowns. He did some good things. He threw for over 350 yards, but he threw 3 picks in that game. Right? And I know it's only one game, but that's normally not what you see. I'd like to see a little bit more out of him. What about you?
Yeah, that's it exactly. I was expecting him to really light it up in the Alamo Bowl. And as you mentioned, the yardage was there, the touchdowns were there, but 3 interceptions is something you cannot have. In fact, he had, in that one game, half as many interceptions as Dillon Gabriel threw in the entire season. But let's keep in mind he was a freshman.
Yep.
This is his first time on the big national stage, and now he's had a full year to work as the number one guy. So I think we'll see big-time improvement in that category, and I look for a much better ratio out of him this year.
Whenever we talked, Phil, about the playoff in the past, we'd say, who are the 4 teams? Now it's 12. So
you're not going to make me name all 12, are you, Steve?
No, I'm not going to make you name all 12. I'm not going to do that. You know what? The reason I'm not going to make you name all 12 is I need people to buy the publication for you.
I appreciate that, Steve.
But when you look at it, where's the door open for somebody that hasn't been in it before or has maybe been in it once, and 12 gives them the opportunity to get there?
I don't want to sound like a hometown team here, but let's open the door with Penn State right off the bat.
Right.
Penn State's been landlocked behind Ohio State and Michigan in the Big Ten East for years. Now this year they avoid Michigan, they avoid Oregon, they avoid Iowa. They do have to play Ohio State, but they get them at home. And I think when you look at Penn State and James Franklin, they have the talent this year. You know, there's some questions on the offensive line and receiver. All the other positions are loaded, especially defensively. They're number 29 in my experience chart coming in. And I actually have them favored in 11 of their 12 games this year. The only one I don't is the Ohio State game. So I think Penn State's got that opportunity to not only make the playoff, but make some noise as well. And then how about a team like Utah? You know, Utah last year had 5 losses, so naturally nobody's really looking at them. They're not going to be in the preseason top 10 at the start of the year. But last year, Utah had a really tough schedule. They played most of their tough opponents on the road. They lost Cam Rising prior to the season, had a myriad of injuries during the course of the year, and they lost 5 games. But just 2 years ago, they were in the Rose Bowl. 3 years ago, they were in the Rose Bowl. Cam Rising's back, solid on the offense and defensive line, moving to a new conference, the Big 12, and I think they can dominate the Big 12 and win it and then make themselves into the playoffs. And Cam Rising has proven he can play with the big boys in the big games. So I think Utah's a team that could make some noise. And maybe one more. I will go back to the Big 10 and pick on Iowa. I know Iowa hasn't had the offense in recent years, but they've got the defense this year. In fact, I expected a bunch of their defensive players to turn pro. They didn't. They all returned. Players like Nick Jackson, Sebastian Castro are back. They've got one of the best defenses in the country, one of the best special teams in the country, an offensive line that now has a veteran unit with almost everybody back. Yep. Cade McNamara, if he can stay healthy, and he wasn't even healthy at the start of last year, and wasn't healthy until he got injured. If he can have that year that you expected, they've got the running backs with Williams and Johnson. They've added some talent at receiver. They may actually have an offense to go with the defense and special teams. And then when you look at their schedule, Steve, who do you put them an underdog at this year? I mean, the road games are at Maryland, at UCLA, which is in down year, at Michigan State, at Minnesota, all those winnable. You would put them an underdog at Ohio State, but the Vegas total on them coming into the year is 7.5. Find me 5 losses on that schedule, Steve.
No, I can't, and also the Tim Lester effect as the offensive coordinator is going to be interesting with them. And they have put themselves in an interesting position because they have locked in 25% of their schedule forever because they have guaranteed games with Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Nebraska because the Big Ten asked, who do you want to be as your rivals? You could have up to 3. They took all 3, so they've locked in 25% of their schedule and 1/3 of their Big Ten schedule in perpetuity.
Wow, that is interesting, and that's—I think they're really set up this year. As mentioned, yes. I thought a lot of their players are going to turn NFL, much like Ohio State. Ohio State had a lot of players come back that could have gone. Watch out for the Iowa Hawkeyes this year.
Yeah, that's right. With Ohio State, Jack Sawyer could have gone, stayed. JTT could have gone, he stayed. Burke could have gone, he stayed. Those are all on the defensive side. And then there's, you know, when I look at Cam Rising, for example. Yeah, I'm the guy that was announcing the game when he got hurt. So I saw the play and called the play. But when I watched him on the video, and then when I saw him in person, he's a really good college quarterback that has a swagger to him that you can only define if you watch him play. And I think that makes a big difference because they play a power style that the Big 12 is going to have to get used to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, last year, if Rising went down, you expected Brandon Rose to step right in and take his place. He was one of the higher-rated quarterbacks at high school, big arm, mobile. He had got injured in the preseason, so they were down to their number 3, number 4, number 5 QBs during the course of the year. And basically, teams could load up the box and stop them. And as mentioned, last year, a bunch of their big games were on the road where, you know, you get to Rice-Eccles Stadium. I don't know if you've ever been there, Steve, but it is one of the loudest venues out there. They've got the students, or they're called the MUSS, M-U-S-S, and it's the student section. They get most of their tough games at home this year, so they're a team to look out for.
Yeah, have not, and that's a place I want to go. I do have to ask you about Alabama with Kalen DeBoer. It's been interesting with them, and now when you talk, I'm sure you talked with him as well. What was the impression he had of his team? Because it's not as if he's never been to a national championship game. Last time I checked, that was January.
Absolutely. And I got to be honest with you, Steve. When Nick Saban stepped down, I remember all those folks hit the portal, big-time names going in the portal. You know, I'm like, okay, maybe Alabama's in for a rebuilding season. But talking to Coach DeBoer and going over the team with him, first of all, it's a talented team, really good roster. And he brought in some players, like Parker Brailsford. Remember they had snapping problems at Alabama last year? A lot of bad snaps during the year. Solved. They brought in the Joe Moore Award-winning center, Parker Brailsfield, to handle that. In the secondary, they lost some key players, but they bring in a Damani Jackson from USC, a Keon Saab from Michigan.
Yes.
So they're in good shape there. And going over the squad with them, I feel they actually have more talent on this year's Alabama team than he had on last year's team that played the national title at Washington. And keep in mind, he's 104-12 as a head coach. And my first question to him, Steve, was what's it like taking in this, you know, filling the shoes of a legend? How tough is that? And he says he can handle it, and he's pretty confident about that. So I liked everything about going over the squad with them. We talked for at least an hour going over the team, and I think they're going to be a surprise contender. I think a lot of folks are writing them off because Nick Saban's gone, a lot of talent left, but they have a lot of talent there, and Kalen DeBoer can sure get it out of them.
Beware of an Alabama team that you're like, okay, we're okay now. Beware. You know, yeah, I know Caleb Downs is with Ohio State, but the, you know, but Saab's a good player. Came in from Michigan, I believe, if I remember correctly. Yep. So, hey, absolute pleasure. This went by in a blink, as usual, and we will catch up again, I hope, before the season starts.
Well, we better, Steve. I mean, as you mentioned, I could have swore we just got on the phone here and we're done with it already. So, yes, should definitely do this more times.
Thank you, Phil. You're the best. And, again, his publication get it, and the primary places they can get it would be?
The only places you can get it are Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. Those are the only two places that you can go out and get it. So save your gas money, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million exclusively, or philsteele.com. And when you go to philsteele.com and get the hard copy, we give you the digital copy for free, and we actually update the digital all the way through September. So Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, philsteele.com.
Absolutely. Phil, thank you so much. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good, Steve. Have a good one, my friend.
You too. The great Phil Steele. Honest to goodness. I mean, we could have gone on and on and on. He's fabulous.
Hey, if he had the time, I'll listen to you.
It was unreal. You know, there are some people that can talk on and on and on about a subject, but enough of the suit when it comes to the Indy 500. Phil Steele on college football, I can listen for hours. He knows everything about everybody. If I were to bring up Conference USA or the Mid-American Conference, he could have run it down for you. Unreal. Brought to you by, in this opening half hour, by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com, and News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.